podcast.
Parenting is here again.
Here we are.
I'm Peter McNerney.
I'm Beth Newell.
And like I said, we're here again.
We're here again.
What did you think it was going to be somebody else?
What did you think you were getting into?
What, you think you hear that awesome Mates of State theme song kick in and it'd suddenly be two different people without kids? Think again, mister.
I always forget that that's our music. I'm having a completely different podcast experience to our listeners who are hearing the words that I'm saying.
Yeah, well, you don't. That's so funny because I edit this, so I hear that song every single week.
Literally never.
If you've wondered, where does that awesome theme song come from?
It's Mates of State.
Mates of State.
Which I've said this on the podcast before, but we're Mates of State's fans back. From our college days.
We always have been.
And when I was like in college or just out of college, the female half of Mates of State, I think, what's her name? I don't know. Carrie? Am I wrong? I don't know. She had a blog about like touring around with their kids. And I was like, actually found it really inspirational to be like, a creative person can have a career and somehow make it work with children.
Yeah. They're married, they have kids, and they still do their thing.
Yeah, they still do their thing.
And they let us use their theme song.
And they let us use their theme song.
The story is incredible because we were sending, you know, the folks over at the network. We're like, hey, what do you want your theme song to be? We'll write it for you. And they go, well, here's a bunch of music styles that we like. And we sent them a bunch of Mates of State and good old Chuck Bryant.
As tonal examples.
Yeah.
We said, here's the sound we're looking for.
Everyone's favorite podcast host. Chuck Bryant from Stuff You Should Know, Movie Crush, just said, oh, I'll just ask them. And of course, he knows them. Of course. We didn't know. And they let us use it.
Yeah.
That's the story of the theme song.
Life is like a box of chocolates.
You know what? Sometimes if you ask, you'll get the chocolate.
Well, it's called manifesting, folks.
Folks.
Folks. We started using folks, and now we have to use it for the rest of this podcast.
All right, folks. All right, folks.
That's
with
all,
kids,
folks.
Listen up.
Anyway.
So what happened in this week in our week in parenting?
What happened in this week? So we're finally back in our home. We talked about that last week. No? Yes. No.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we recorded here last week.
Okay. But now we're like settled and...
Oh, the bathroom is so nice.
The bathroom's great.
The lovely woman who... comes twice a month to clean. Was very impressed with the bathroom.
Yeah, she liked it.
I was proud for her to see it.
She was like, ooh. And I was like, she's so happy to clean a bathroom that doesn't have a rotting windowsill.
She's so happy to have a bathroom that's cleanable.
She's like, oh, you want me to clean this duct taped tile? Great. thank you.
Oh, yeah, so we didn't mention this, so... Long ago, we knew that this bathroom
we've probably
we moved in,
mentioned it,
but there was a little soap dish in the tile wall of the shower, and one day you put your foot on it to shave your legs, which is a reasonable thing to do, and the whole thing just ripped out of the wall.
Yeah.
And so anyway, the solution was white duct tape to cover the hole for 3 years.
And literally all of the naked baby photos of our children over the past 5 years have been with a mildewy tile behind them and
I gotta say the
duct tape tile.
The duct tape was lasted a surprisingly long time without getting gross. I probably replaced it twice.
Yeah.
Again, instead of getting it fixed.
If I have one piece of advice for people for being poor, it's
duct tape.
Find the money for duct tape. Yeah, but
yeah,
the
wooden windowsill inside the shower that just was in the corner of this wood piece of wood. It was mostly as soft as a blanket. This wood, because it was completely rotted away and causing
as
a leak.
Soft as a blanket. What a weird analogy.
What is a blanket not soft?
I do. I feel like we've covered the state of our bathroom before, so we can move on.
Do you want to hear how I got to the logic of a blanket?
No.
Because I thought it's soft as a pillow. And I was like, no, it's too soft. And then I was like, a memory foam mattress.
Stop it.
And I was like,
stop.
It's too weirdly specific.
Okay.
So then I said blanket.
So that happened. Our Christmas presents are mostly packed away. Although, of course, the box, we shipped back some of our presents from Chicago, and of like five boxes, the one that got lost was the one that included very expensive gift cards.
We can probably,
and who knows what else we lost in there. We'll just never remember.
At least a book, some hand towels, fancy soap. But so my dad went to the post office where from which I mailed the boxes because he has my same name, and I knew exactly what time I sent them, and I had from my credit card and the other boxes. And I was like, well, they can find the tracking number because they know exactly when we send it. Nope, they don't do that.
No, of course they don't. It's the United States Postal Service. That's why they give you the long receipt and they circle the thing and they say, this is your tracking number. This is now in your hands.
But the thing that's crazy is that data exists very easily in their system.
Oh, you mean the United States Postal Service has not hired Harvard's top data collectors to connect their systems?
And you want bigger government, huh? Is this what you want?
Yeah, I do want bigger government.
You want more post office. That made me sound a lot more Republican than I am. Let's not go down this path. So our kids had second Christmas. Your parents came down this weekend.
My parents came down and
really
brought their presents.
They had some brakes issues in the last hour. They had to drop the car at the shop. Luckily, it was not a huge deal. They got it taken care of. But we had a lot more presents.
This is what's kind of stressing me out right now is like, as a Virgo who's always scanning my surroundings for flaws.
Of course.
We have too much stuff again, and we need to get rid of stuff. And I know it's just like to sort through all the toys is just such an annoying chore.
I secretly throw things away. I just do it. I don't tell anyone.
I do that too, but like it needs an overhaul.
It's overdue.
It's just, there's just so much stuff. It's like, I think what's frustrating, like for a lot of people, and I don't think our family is particularly bad about this. It's just that there's so many people who give you stuff. But like, I think our generation is like less likely to own a home, like a physical home, and like don't have as much space and don't have like there is a little more conscious of the environment, and our families still give us presents, and you can't be like, hey, stop giving us things. Like, it's hard to.
Yeah, it's all still very, very nice.
It's nice.
And the
kids
love it.
But it's just, as a sum total, it's so much stuff.
The next day, you're like, I have no more cabinets.
I mean, someday I guess we'll have like a playroom, but it still feels like more stuff than children can enjoy.
Oh, the entire blanket is falling off the wall. Oh!
Wow.
Did you see that happening?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, after you started screaming about it?
I could see it. I could see it dropping. If it just got a little echoey-er around Beth, it's because the incredible sound insulation system I have, which is literally hanging blankets all around us.
We sound like a mess, but we're actually doing really well. We're good.
I mean, things are literally falling apart.
We have a new bathroom. That we've mentioned 9 million times. Okay, so my parents came. Oh, so then on Sunday, my parents had to hang out because their car was being repaired because just classic family thing, their brakes started to fail.
It's such a classic family thing for brakes to fail.
Just a classic my family thing that on the one day they're coming here, their brakes would stop working on their car. So they they had to get their car fixed, and so they're borrowing our car. And then I took the kids after you left on Sunday to go to work. I took the kids to their hotel nearby, which has an indoor pool in
a
it.
A pool!
Which we know about because your parents stayed there. And
we went to that pool.
We went to that pool. And so...
A lot of chlorine in that pool.
Yeah, but very warm.
It is.
In that scenario, in like a indoor hotel pool that clearly like everyone is coming by like just to use the pool, I feel like I want there to be way too much chlorine.
I mean, yeah, that's their safety net, is just kill everything.
Yeah. I'm not usually like a big germaphobe, but in that scenario, let's chlorinate.
I'm not either, but it is.
It's not like the pool I swim in every day. It's like a one-time visit to like the most used pool in town.
I swam in that pool for a long, long time, and it really dried me out.
Yeah. That's part of the fun. But we took them to the pool, which they love. But of course, when we got there, the floor was wet. There's kids in the pool. And Bryn, just like walking a little too fast, his heel just like skidded. He fell backwards, slammed his head into the ground, and was crying. And it was like,
ow.
I mean, his butt hit first. So I was like, I don't think he has like a concussion, but it's like not something you ever want to see happen to your kid's head.
Yeah.
And then he calmed down and he seemed fine. And we like played in the pool for a while. And then we're getting out of the pool. And then Maven just standing there, like barely even walking, she does the same thing and slams like the side of her head into the ground.
What?
Like just really hard, like slams. And I'm just like,
you're a terrible mother.
Oh my God. And then she's like crying and like, you know, and I've talked about this in the past, how when we're with our families, they're not like as tuned into kids' needs as we are. So while I'm trying to comfort...
I wouldn't throw me into that.
Well, I just think people who don't spend every single day of their life with our children are not as aware of their quirks and idiosyncrasies.
Yeah.
So... that's happening, and I'm looking over at Bryn, who, like, because when this happened with Bryn earlier, Maven's just, like, stumbling around, and I was like, can you please just sit down? Like, for once, you know, like, I'm just like, they're both idiots. And so
you're
then...
both idiots.
Well, in scenarios like this where I'm like, oh, great, people's lives are in danger. so then I'm comforting Maven, and while this is happening, Bryn is like walking around, and I was just like, I was trying to comfort Maven, and my mom was like giving me a play-by-play of how she felt, and I was just like, can you watch him? Like, he's just like wandering, like, and it was fine. He didn't fall, but I was just like,
I really thought this story was going towards a third fall.
No, there wasn't a third fall, but I was just like, that's the scenarios that I find very frustrating in terms of just like, you stupid kids, like, stop moving for 1 second.
Can't you just be an adult?
It feels like in a video game, we walk into, like, a field of landmines, and I'm like, okay, hey, you guys, there's this thing, and then they're just, like, wandering, like, they're just...
It's like giving a kid a computer with a game of Minesweeper open and just saying, hey, guess where the mines are, but I'm not going to explain the rules. Like, they just start clicking everywhere.
It's like buying ice cream when my husband is home and expecting him not to devour it when I'm not looking.
Well, that's on you. That's foolish.
No, you've told me. As the victim, it's my fault.
Yeah, I said don't bring ice cream to this house because we're all going to feel bad. For different reasons.
Just
I don't have any control.
You're right. No one should be held accountable for their own actions.
I have an ice cream addiction. And you don't respect that. You know what? It's circling back to not having enough space for anything.
Circling back, yeah.
You know, my parents sent me that big tub of all my stuff, like from high school and stuff. And they were like, it's time for you to take this. We can't store it anymore.
You mean like 10 years ago?
It was like 10 years ago. Back when we had less space. And, you know, they have a humongous house with a giant basement with a lot of space. And I was like, I'm not going to complain. But I think they can hold on to it until I have space, but I still don't have space.
We'll never have enough space for them. I say
my
this,
parents?
No, I just mean boomers' belongings.
Boomers' belongings. You mean our belongings that we're expecting our boomers to hold on to us forever?
No, I'm not expecting anything to be held on to.
I don't have, neither one of us, I don't have a lot of stuff from childhood.
We have a lot of stuff, but it's not like
no, from
mementos.
Our childhoods.
No.
I'm nostalgic for nostalgia. Nostalgia.
Nostalgia.
I'm nostalgic for things that could be nostalgic that I don't have anymore.
What?
I don't know. Actually, don't ask me to defend what I just said. I have no idea. Forget it. I'm sorry. Oh boy. It's 2020. Okay, you know what? It's 2020. We finally have a decade with an identity. You know what I mean?
I
the 20s.
Wait, I forgot to actually tell you like the best story of the week.
Oh, okay. Well, let's not look ahead to the year quite yet then. Go ahead.
I'm sure you had something very important to say.
I'm not.
But I'm trying to find, I was tweeting this out this week, but trying to find the tweets. So Bryn had a play date yesterday and his friend, one of his close friends was over and they were like, you know, just saying weird stuff to each other.
Probably about butts.
Here's what I think happened. Bryn got a new book with extinct animals. And in one part, there's like this weird marsupial tiger thing.
Yeah.
I think maybe they were looking at that with like the babies coming out of it. And
the one with the weird backward facing butt pouch.
Yeah.
That's the craziest thing I've ever seen, by the way.
So
keep going.
Bryn's friend comes into the bedroom where I am and he walks in and he goes, when you were pregnant with Bryn, did he come out your butt? And I was like, no. And then Bryn came in and they're like, well, did he come out your butt or your belly? And I was like, he came out of my vagina. And like, I was just like, I have to be honest about this. And then they said like so many insane things over the course of the play date. So I overheard Bryn's friend talking to him and he goes, do you guys celebrate New Year's? And Bryn said, yeah, we do. Oh, wait, no, we don't. And then at one point, Bryn was playing with him with his new X-Men toys. And he said he keeps insisting that all the X-Men are bad guys.
So Bryn does?
Yeah, Bryn does.
He is wrong.
And his logic for this, I think, is interesting because it kind of like explains a lot of things culturally. Bryn is like, all the X-Men are bad guys because everyone's mad at them. And he's right that in the context of the show, everyone is prejudiced against X-Men. So
you think that's a failure of the definition of bad guy or his empathy is off?
Both. I think he's just picking up on the fact that he's like, in this world, no one likes X-Men.
Yeah, well, I think also like bad guy doesn't necessarily mean what it means.
But the other thing he said is that he said Professor X doesn't have any powers.
Okay, that is very wrong.
Right. And then it made me wonder if he watched like an episode where he's like losing his powers or something. I don't know.
It is a far more abstract concept to be like telepathic.
He doesn't have any powers.
For a five-year-old.
Anyway.
I mean, Wolverine, it's clear. The man's got claws.
So then we have this new bathroom, obviously, and Bryn was showing his friend to the bathroom and he showed him the new lock on the door and he goes, there's a lock here in case you need privacy. And his friend pulled down his pants and his underwear and said, yeah, I do need privacy. And then he closed the door.
Does it look like I need privacy?
It never gets old to me that all of these kids are like, I need some privacy. And then can you come wipe my butt?
Maybe it is obsessed. When she has to go to the bathroom, she goes, Daddy, I have to go potty and I don't need help and I need privacy and I need you to... when I'm done, but I want to flush the toilet.
Yeah, she does a long monologue every time she has to pee.
And the variables
are
different.
And I'm like, just go.
Sometimes she says, I do need help and I don't need privacy. And she just like mixes. She's like, what do I feel like today?
Yeah, but either way, she feels like she has to give us a long update on the status of going potty.
I have one more important thing to say before we end this segment, which is last week.
I did have one last thing I was going to say. Ahead. Which is that his friend later said, Donald Trump is a mean president. We don't know if he's going to be fired or not. I thought that was really smart.
I've been avoiding the topic with Bryn altogether.
I know. Our kids don't really understand it.
Our kids don't know who the president is.
I feel
is.
Like with Bryn, it would be a can of worms because he will start saying much more insane.
Yeah, that's exactly why. Because he's going to start saying things as if he is the authority on it. And I'm like...
Right.
That's the problem with our country. I don't
and then
to
he
add
gets
one
he has creative license with it, like you, and all of a sudden he's saying things like, "A man can't marry a man."
You really made it sound like that's something I say.
No, but it's something our son has said.
Now it's time for Did You Know's? Holy crap, we got big news. It's a new segment.
Holy crap.
Holy
this
crap.
This segment's called Holy Crap. Big news.
Okay, we feel bad because we're very honest on this podcast, I feel like.
We've been hiding something.
There's really been a very big topic that we have not been talking about, mostly because we didn't want to tell our friends, just because we didn't know it was happening.
We wanted to know it was really happening before we had everyone's input and opinion.
This also, I just realized, we said a bunch of stuff in the first segment that were active, basically lies.
What did we say was lies?
We were just talking about space and how someday we'll be able to deal with it.
That wasn't lies.
It wasn't a lie. It was misleading.
Okay, well... The news is that we're buying a house. We're moving.
We're moving.
We're moving back to Brooklyn.
Holy.
Holy.
Crap.
Bajoli.
Holy cow.
It's crazy. But we're.
Stressed as could be.
Yeah,
I mean,
we've
excited.
Been stressed about it. We've been processing that it's really happening.
That it's possible.
I still don't fully in my mind believe that it's happening, but theoretically it is happening.
We've gotten the contract.
We got the contract.
It looks good.
Everyone loves to hear about the legal details.
it's really been a big hole in the podcast in that really all I'm thinking about is this. And then
it's
I have to think, I can feel like, well, I can't talk about that. So I got to think about something else.
Yeah, it's been consuming us.
So,
we're moving into a property that requires a lot of renovations.
So we won't be moving until the fall.
So now we've found a new thing to be stressed about.
So tonight, to make this about parenting, I told our kids
about the move.
Yeah, but in really specifically.
Oh well, yeah, we've told them about it a little bit.
I showed them their new home. I also talked about schools, and I saw Bryn realize that he was going to not be living near his friends anymore, and he got very sad for 1 second.
Well,
and then
yeah,
seemingly
this is
got
what,
over it instantly.
He says, like we've talked about this, is like we're going to get a home, and then we're probably going to have to switch schools, and Bryn always says, not until I'm done with kindergarten. I mean... Not until I'm done with first grade, then we can move.
He changed it. Now, not until Maven's done with first grade.
Oh, yeah. He keeps, like, upping the ante. He was like, just a little bit longer. So that's going to be hard. But I think he's young enough that he will instantly forget that he lived here.
And everyone he ever knew.
yeah. Well, hopefully we'll keep in touch. I feel like it's classic that, like, when you're just about to leave somewhere, it starts to get really good. Yeah. And like our bathroom is done. And then like we had this like crazy like 60 degree weekend. So we're outside and I was like actually able to have real conversations with like two different neighbors who have the two different moms who have kids Bryn's age and like separately. And I was like, oh, like I'm having a good time talking to them because like usually when I'm run into them, I'm like running to work or something, or I've had toddlers and I'm just chasing them and I can't have a real conversation. It's like, you're like finally get to this point where you're like, ah, I can like,
yeah,
talk to these people and get comfortable.
We moved up to the suburbs away from, we lived in Brooklyn for a long time. And then we had a baby and we got out of Dodge and moved to the suburbs and had a baby and knew nobody. And you don't meet people until your kid's in like kindergarten. And then you start meeting other parents and having play dates. And like, we're right at that point where we're realizing there are friends to be had.
And we're doing the reverse commute, the reverse exodus of what everyone else does is that they have babies in New York and then they move to the suburbs when their kids start to go to school. So we, everyone we know and want to be around will probably immediately leave Brooklyn as soon as we get there.
Oh my God, our friends aren't allowed to have babies.
Yeah.
That's the rule, friends.
That's the rule, friends. So yeah. It's exciting and stressful.
So schools is the big thing. I was going to say it's the big thing now that I'm now not stressed about, but it's a big thing we have to figure out. We got to check out the public school. We got to check out charter schools. We got to check out private schools. We got to check out all these options and then be like, what's good? What's close? What's possible?
It's overwhelming.
When do we have to apply? This was the thing.
Is our home renovated in time for the school year to start?
I did not think we would ever live in New York City ever again.
I had thought of it before.
I know you did.
I mean, I didn't really believe we would be able to do it.
Yeah, neither did I. This was your idea. And when you told me, I said, get out of here. Then I screamed at the top of my lungs and I
literally
ran away.
Every single time we have a big life change, like a move, I say, hey, I think we should do this thing, and I'm presenting you with my research and thoughts, and you say, that's crazy, you're insane, that would never happen, it's a bad idea, you stupid.
You stupid idiot. I will say, we had some real big fights, but we did have a really good conversation that I felt great about. Where like, you know, you are very thoughtful and you think through things and this is something you thought through. And
I'm also like sort of obsessed with home. Like, I mean, the place I live in is very important to me.
Yes. Actually after this, I saw the bathroom got done. I'm so excited to not be a part of this renovation.
Oh yeah.
I'm excited to see what you do.
I like the work share we've sort of gotten into, which is like we can be CC'd on emails with people where like I tell them what's what and the vision and like what needs to be done. And then when they start asking like how we're going to pay for things, I'm like, my husband will talk to you about that, those details.
Talk to Mr. Wallet over here.
You can talk to my husband. Not that like...
You're like, numbers, yuck. Talk to this guy.
I just find that part so boring when people are like, and now we need these contracts signed and notarized. And I'm like, no.
I'm going to go find some snacks.
Yeah. I'm like, I think the walls should be blue.
And I'm like, where does that go on the spreadsheet? in the colors column. Duh.
Yeah. So...
Dramatically unrelated topic, but last week we talked a lot about the band Five for Fighting. And I said we got a lot of comments and emails and texts from friends about that. And I want to acknowledge that I did not sing the correct song. When that Superman song, I was like, oh, no, don't dump.
When you started singing it, it was like not what I was thinking. But then as soon as someone starts singing a song, you can't picture any other song in your mind. And
yeah,
I was just
but
like,
the song is,
know.
As small than a bird, as small than a plane. Five for Fighting, the tone of Five for Fighting the Band could not match the concept of 5 minutes penalty for fighting less. Was that a convoluted way to say that sentence?
Wait, say that again.
So like the concept of five for fighting, like 5 minutes, 5 minute penalty for fighting in a hockey game. That concept, you think the soundtrack of that concept is, it's more than a bird, it's more than a plane. You think it'd be more like a Dropkick Murphy type of sound.
What are you talking about? You're saying theoretically the soundtrack for sitting in a penalty box?
The band Five for Fighting, the name of the band.
Right, but that's one of their songs.
Right, but all of their songs, it's this one guy, it's not even a band. All of his songs are like these real sweet piano singer-songwriter things that couldn't be further from the aesthetic of hockey. Am I wrong? Am I crazy?
Everything's an illusion, Peter. Our children like to listen to a band called Queen because they sing a song called We Will Rock You that is ostensibly a hockey anthem of sports events, and yet it is sung by a queer icon.
You know what, Beth? That is an excellent point. I think Five for Fighting is the opposite of Queen's We Will Rock You.
Our kids were oh, wait, this is something funny that happened that I completely forgot, which is when Bryn's friend was here, he was like, hey, Siri, play, oh, fuck, what is the song? It was like, it was not that. It was not We Will Rock You. Why did that start playing? Did you put that on?
No. Okay, so you said, hey, Siri.
right, but I didn't say play We Will Rock You.
But we were talking about it earlier. Okay, do you guys...
yeah,
hey, Siri,
I was...
stop. We can't... We don't have the rights for this. Stop it. It's too long. Oh, this is a disaster.
Wait, so... Okay, so he...
Wait, that made no sense.
So I was trying to remember the song. So he kept requesting this song by Imagine Dragons. And he was like... It was just so funny to see, like, a five-year-old. He kept going, hey, Siri, play Believer by Imagine Dragons. and it was so funny. And then he would just dance. Hey, Siri, stop. So, oh, my God. Oh, yeah. So it's that song. And it's like, first things first. Da, da, da. And so he was dancing to that so enthusiastically. And then Bryn would try to think of a song, but he only knows like one song off the top of his head, which is We Will Rock You. So then they were just alternating back and forth between those two songs. So then when his friend's dad came to pick him up, they all insisted on like dancing to a full song in front of him. And they were like, we have to request this again. And then they're all like dancing and jumping on the couch. And they looked so ridiculous. They had all of them had really funny dance moves.
Yeah, last time we went over to his house, there was another boy there. Maven was there. She didn't want to participate. But they got a full band. They had a microphone, guitar, and conga. And it was real cute.
Yeah. It was, yeah, they were very funny.
Bryn, one of my favorite videos, if you'd like to visit my Instagram and scroll all the way back to when Bryn could barely talk but still talked in nonsense words all the time. There's a video of him requesting a song. He goes, stop, stop, quap. I'm like, what?
He says,
what
do you want? Hey, stop, stop, cop.
Goes, stop, stop, cop. Stop, stop, quap. I'm like, what do you want? He goes, stomp, stomp, clap. And I figure it out that, oh, you're saying stomp, stomp, clap. And he wanted me to play We Will Rock You. Stomp, stomp, clap. Stomp, stomp, clap.
Yeah.
And figuring that out, it still feels like one of the great dad accomplishments of my life. It was so satisfying. Stomp, stomp, clap. Play stomp, stomp, clap. That song should be called Stomp, Stomp, Quap.
I thought you were going to tell them to scroll back and look for the video of Maven playing ukulele when she's like 1 year old. How old is she? She's like two. She's doing her little foot tap, pretending to play.
Oh, yeah. I'm standing playing guitar and she's standing next to me trying to tap her foot like me. Boy.
She's so cute. I rediscovered this video on my sister's Instagram this week of the Bryn and Maven when they're like two and three, or like littler. They're so little. They're like one and two. And they're like feeding her friend's dog. And they're so adorable and chunky. And they're clapping because the dog's eating food. And then Bryn is so excited that he goes to hug Maven and like tackles her to the ground. And they're just, they're so adorable and round.
They're, I never had siblings that close to me in age, and it's only two of them. So I feel like they are going to be close in a way that I can't relate to.
Well, it feels very similar to me and my brother to me, because me and my brother were almost exactly 2 years apart, and Bryn and Maven are 20 months.
Yeah.
And it's just like, there's something about that closeness where you're, it's like the two of them just can't imagine a life without each other, you know? And then you're just like, that person, your sibling dynamic with that person is just such an enormous part of who you are.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
totally. Boy, and it's going to be different. Like, my older brother's like 3.5, 4 years older than me. My little brother is 6 years. And so there's all these phases of my childhood where I'm close with this one and that one, but it's not the same. I feel like it's being so close.
Yeah.
Oh boy. We gotta move.
We're not gonna move for at least 6 or 7 months, but I'm already stressed about moving.
Well, that's all the stuff that we need to throw away because this apartment is too cluttered. Then it's also like, well, we're going to have more space.
Yeah, but it's like we're never going to wish we had that stuff. There's just too much stuff.
It's true.
I feel like we're going to get a way bigger place. And then before you know it, it's just full of stuff.
Well, the basement of this house currently is a hoarder level of just absolute garbage.
It could be worse. It's just not organized in any way. It's just someone was like...
And none of the lights work.
Yeah. And anyway, it's fine.
Anyway, wish us luck.
Wish us luck.
You can send housewarming gifts to...
No.
No, please don't. To weknowspod@gmail.com.
Please never do.
So yay, we can stop lying to you now.
Stop the lies. It's happening. I guess now we have to tell everyone. I didn't know this was happening, but now the secret's out and the whole world knows.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I told
sure hope this
today.
Deal doesn't fall through.
True. If we don't sign this, I was just waiting until we signed the contract, but we're a couple days away from that.
Anyway, fun stuff. Anyway, we should talk more about the contract.
Yeah. This has been We Knows. Holy crap. There's an announcement.
This next segment is called Listeners Want to Knows. This is where we take questions and comments from you guys.
All right. We have an email from a listener. Dear Beth and Peter, apologize in advance for the super long email, but I was wondering if you had any advice or know of any resources for coping after a miscarriage. I'm 32 and this would have been my first pregnancy. I knew I was pregnant right after Thanksgiving, but didn't tell my husband until I was 5 weeks because I wanted to surprise him with a gift that hadn't arrived yet. Darn Etsy and mail delivery. When I told him, he was so excited, as was I. Our lives had changed forever with the news. I had had spotting since implantation and more one-sided pain, but the doctor did a scan and saw everything looked good in week 4. Halfway through week 6, though, I woke up to what looked like a period and got scared. Called the doc and they were able to see me that afternoon. We were able to see a heartbeat, but it was too slow. And at that time, the doctor couldn't tell if it had just started beating or if it was the beginning of a miscarriage. They told me to go home and keep an eye on my symptoms and if things got worse to let them know. They gave me the odds of 60% it would be a viable pregnancy, 40% chance of miscarriage. Christmas Eve, I had a miscarriage at home just 5 days after the last visit to my doctor. My husband was there to help me through the pain and emotions of it all. I called my sister, who is currently pregnant with her first child, but had also had a miscarriage before that, to have a little more support from someone who's been through it. I told very few people about what happened, but didn't feel much better after. Shockingly, being told things happen for a reason and what will be didn't make me feel like I had any relief. My husband has been struggling with it also. He said he didn't have enough time to process everything about the pregnancy before it was over. He said it was like someone handed him a picture of the light at the end of the tunnel where he knew the end point was a baby, but it was still the beginning. But then someone took the picture away soon after he got it. The time of year also didn't help with the stress and emotions because all during Christmas, I kept seeing everyone's beautiful bumps all over Facebook and it brought back all my emotions. Anyway, didn't know if you guys had any advice or words of wisdom. Thanks, guys. Love what you do. Bethany.
Wow. First of all, we're so sorry to hear that happen to you.
Yes.
I don't know if I have like any like amazing advice for her aside from just like trying. I think anyone who's going through anything like this should make as much space for themselves as they need to mm-hmm. process and grieve it. And it sounds like she's doing that. And I think, you know, if there's particular triggers like social media that she can let herself off the hook for that or, you know, events like she, you know, she doesn't.
Yeah, I feel like social media could be particularly unhelpful.
Yeah, and it's not, you can't always like really predict where the triggers are going to come from in your life. But mm-hmm. Yeah, I think she should, you know, let herself feel her feelings and be upset. And I think it's good like that she sent this email, whether she wants to like be more public about it or not. I think talking about it with whoever you're comfortable talking about it with mm-hmm. is really good to help you move through and process what happened and acknowledge. Because I think if you're not acknowledging the weight of something like this and how it's affected you, then that keeps you more stuck there in yeah. the emotion.
Yeah, and it's and I am sure as she described in this email that people around you also, you know, don't necessarily know how to support you because it's not simple. It's not a thing to be fixed. And so I'm sure you're getting a lot of, as you mentioned, those like everything happens for a reason.
Yeah. And people say it's not dumb stuff all the time to everyone about things that they don't realize are super triggering. And I think mm-hmm. that's why sometimes I think not that you shouldn't expect people around you to make space for you, because you should, but that's why sometimes I think it is good to just like take a break from people and situations that might be draining for you and just like take care of yourself when you're in a vulnerable position.
Yeah. And it's, I would imagine, and I have not, we've been fortunate enough to not go through this, but how confusing it is, because this is a, you know, you're grieving the loss of a person that you never met. And so this person exists in your head. And we, you know, when people are pregnant, when we are pregnant, you of course can't help but invest in this baby that you have, this person
and
that
the,
you've
and
imagined.
And the life in, that you're going to have with them.
Yeah, yeah. And even you don't know them yet, but suddenly you lose them. You lose that person that you've developed, that you've invested. You've built a relationship with somebody that you've imagined for the most part. And it's you still go through a grieving period, but you can't.
Yeah. But you know, I think people in our culture are not taught to be patient with themselves when they're vulnerable or sometimes we all are turn into like a mess. Like uh-huh. we're just not like we, everyone should get a pass at some point to be no longer relied upon or to have bad days or to, you know, like just things get bad and you're allowed to just acknowledge that and like let it envelop you temporarily. And I think it's especially true for women, but it's also true for men in the sense of like this toxic masculinity thing where it's like the fact that it's hitting her husband hard, I think like people would not necessarily expect that or consider that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like It's a weird double-edged sword because, like, people expect men to be so tough, but then they're also so much more sympathetic to men in certain situations. I remember reading the Facebook post of this man I know who's grieving his teenage daughter, and how while they were grieving, seemingly so many more people would come and empathize with him, and like sort of like, I think because we see women in these sort of caretaker roles that sometimes we sort of just assume they'll like suck it up and hold it together, but then in other ways we also expect men to hold it together and not express emotions that are not anger, you know. It's just like very complicated.
And I know that I've been guilty of this, and it's my impulse has always been to fix a problem, you know? And so I think when I've had people around me who just have grief or are just have gone through something sad, especially when I was younger, you know, I'd go into that mode of like, well, here's what you got to do. You know, it's just like, and it is that mode of, here's how you get through this, as in now I'm older and wiser and know at least that, like, oh no, it's, first of all, it's not my problem to solve, and this is not a solvable problem.
Right.
This is just something that needs to be experienced.
We're not really comfortable in our culture with like sitting with painful emotions. It's not acceptable. Like, everyone's supposed to like rush off and do something or drink something or, you know, like.
Yeah, but also not everyone grieves the same way. And what people who are grieving don't always know what they need. And it changes moment to moment. And so.
Yeah. Well, one thing that I think is really interesting, I can't remember if I talked about this, but the same man I was talking about who lost his daughter had sort of a blog on her. She had cancer and she died from cancer. And then he was posting on there's sort of like a caring something website where you can give updates on people. And I think some people continue to update after their death. And it was actually really nice to hear him thoughtfully reflecting on his experience, because it's such a dark period that people don't really talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about how him and his wife were working with a therapist and how that's really good because people are so just like spent during that period and can really use like any help they can get. And he was talking about how when you're grieving, you lose some of your like executive function ability, like your day-to-day processing. You're kind of just like zonked out in a weird way, because obviously you're just in a state of shock. But then also you're like dealing with the most stressful thing ever. And a lot of times people are trying to like execute a will and plan a funeral. And like, it's just like, there's so much on top of you while you're in the state where you can barely function. And then he was also talking about how there's this really interesting thing. I had to like find the blog and I guess share it, but I can't remember the link. It was like a very random like psychologist blog. But there was this thing talking about how when something bad happens, we resort to one of several coping mechanisms. And so when you're in a state of prolonged grief where your brain continues to try to solve the problem, you start to cycle through coping mechanisms.
Huh.
And so you might like fixate on one and just like keep attempting it over and over again. But it's like, you know, all of your normal coping mechanisms of like, you know, I don't, whatever, like go eat food, drink, like, you know, whatever thing, like I'm trying, there's like, I think like hyper productivity is one for some people. Like, uh-huh. You know how some people they gain a sense of control from like workaholism or whatever.
Yeah, they
like,
need to feel like they need to have something to do to occupy their focus.
And
otherwise,
I do feel like sometimes you almost see that with people who are like, the second someone dies, it feels like they're like starting like a charity, or like they're like pouring themselves into trying to make meaning of the death. And like, not that there's anything wrong with that inherently, but
that, so just, I feel like I understand that like the feeling like you have something needs to be done.
Yeah. And it was just really interesting how like it was, I think he was talking about how it all played into like why when people lose a child, their relationships tend to fall apart, like very often. Mm-hmm. And I think when you have two people whose brains are trying to process all of this and who are sort of flailing and like trying to make sense of their lives and like just making erratic decisions and being like sort of out of it, like it's just so overwhelming. And
yeah, that, you have to find a new, it makes you confront what has meaning, you know, because when you suddenly lose something that has was very meaningful for you, I feel like that meaning needs to get redirected to something else for some people.
Yeah.
And so it is also that like, oh, I'm going to do something about this because it needs to have been for a reason. So
like, yeah, I mean, or you become like nihilist. Like, I don't, there's like a lot of ways to sort of like,
this is a very specific
spin
type
out
of reaction.
But yeah, it's like, that's why, you know, people should be gentle with themselves and hopefully mm-hmm. they have people they can turn to and talk to. And, you know, I think in situations like this, it's like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you almost want to liken it to like having a newborn, like when your brain and your like when your body is like physically and mentally preoccupied with something, like it's just, it's going to consume and impair you for a while. And if you're like, if you're functioning at like a D+, like that's good for where you're at right now, you know, like it's just like, you don't need to be like, you can phone your life in a little bit temporarily.
Yeah. And people trying to support that person.
Yeah.
More and more I've realized that like being there for somebody, really should mean just that, is just being around, as opposed to I'm here for you. What can I do? What are we going to do? What are we going
to
do?
And it's hard not to try to solve it. Like when, especially when you see someone in like deep pain, like it's really, that's all of our knee jerk reaction is like, what can I get you? What can I do? Like, you know,
I'm working on listening. Obviously I'm relating this to myself. I'm too afraid to ask people questions and,
yeah, but the sometimes the best thing you can do is be like, that's really bad. That's so bad.
I have a friend recently that went through a negative thing, and I'm so practical that I'm like, okay, great, here's you know, here's what we can do and all that. And and then later this person told me, was like, you know, sort of wish you just told me, like, yeah, that sucks, I'm sorry. And I was like, I sort of skipped that and went right to the, it's going to be okay. I'm like, yeah, you know what? It sucks. That's
it. They said that to you? I wish you'd told me that sucks.
Yeah, very politely. But it was very honest. I appreciated it.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I skipped that. And I went straight on to the looking ahead.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you have to feel people out and it's hard. Like you have to take a beat to be like, is this person in a place where they want to hear it's going to be okay? Or do they want to hear that sucks?
Yeah.
Sometimes like, sometimes they're trying to move through it and they do need someone to be like, it's going to be okay.
Yeah, that's me. Oh, my phone just said it's 15 minutes to bedtime. That's me. And I need to work on the just saying that that sucks.
Yeah. Well, we all do.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Bethany, for writing in.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that with us.
We're thinking about you, and we send you all of our love and support. And I hope you have the space and the people you need to give you what you need when you need it, even if you don't know what it is. Well, that's gonna do it. This week, this has been another episode of We Knows Parenting. If you would like to send us an email, share some advice, send us a Would You Knows Parenting hypothetical situation, you can email us at weknowspod@gmail.com.
Or you can leave us a voicemail at 347-384-7396. Find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at We Knows Pod. And rate, review, subscribe.
Yeah, give us those stars. We love stars. We're greedy for stars, baby.
We're so greedy for stars.
We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.